Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJY 89.3 Netcon, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River, New York and New Jersey Public Radio. Good morning again, everyone. Coming up, we will re-air an interview, a beautiful interview that Maya Angelou gave us last year. Now that we know this morning that she has passed away, I thought you might like to hear this, so that'll come up in about 20, 25 minutes. But right now, Governor Christie signed a bill yesterday that's going to have a lot of impact on a lot of people in the state. It would give people who were adopted in New Jersey the option to access their birth parents' medical history. And in the process, at least in some cases, that will allow them to find out about who their birth parents are, even if their adoption records were previously sealed. It's a tricky balance between the rights of adopted children and their birth parents. Will this discourage future adoptions? There's a Right to Life movement that says, hey, look, a woman who has an abortion, that abortion is private for the rest of her life under medical records privacy. A woman who gives up a child for adoption, she used to be able to choose privacy, but apparently no more, at least not in New Jersey. Andrew Kitchenman is a writer who's been covering this story for New Jersey Spotlight, and he's here now to explain the bill and to take your calls from adoptees, birth parents, anyone else, 212-433-WNYC. Andrew, welcome to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian.
And by way of background, this bill, if my understanding is correct, was first introduced in 1980 in New Jersey. So why has this been a 34-year battle?
That's right. Well, I think that opposition from the pro-life movement, as well as other groups, including the ACLU over privacy concerns, has basically blocked
There's a coalition.
Yes, yes, but really a lot of the leadership in this opposition has come from the pro-life movement. And over time, the bill is the shape of the bill has changed repeatedly. I mean, really, what's the root of the bill stems back to the, I guess, adoptee rights movement, which really got going in the early 70s as a result of the civil rights movement and a lot of other groups sort of organizing for their rights. And that led to this bill being introduced in 1980. And just over time, it's just been a 34-year-long battle. And so the bill that is finally taking shape, that's been passed by the legislature and is on Governor Christie's desk, basically does two things. For adoptions that occur after August 1st, 2015, so a little more than a year from now, birth certificates are going to be issued automatically for children who are adopted after that date. And the birth parents will still have the option of basically indicating along with that birth certificate record whether they want to be contacted, and if so, how the child would be able to contact them. For all the adoptions before that date next year, so basically all of adoptions throughout this point in history, the birth parents are going to birth parents who have had their records sealed, which we should say is a small minority of all birth parents of people who are adopted. Those birth parents are going to have basically three options. They could allow adoptees to contact them directly. They can allow adoptees to contact them through an intermediary, or they can have their names redacted from the birth certificate from the records and only share medical information, but they would be required to share medical information.
Mm-hmm.
Not to get too complicated, but this is particularly important for people whose adoptions occurred before 1979, because since 1979 there has been a requirement that birth parents do provide medical records. But even that is a source of concern for adoptees, because you might get those records that date from decades ago, And without the name of the birth parents, there's no way to update those records. And, of course, we all are learning more and more about our family's medical histories all the time.
Indeed. So just to be clear on what happens in the future, when this takes effect on August 1st of next year, birth parents who give their children up for adoption will or will not be able to remain anonymous?
They really won't be able to from that point forward.
So, listeners, let's get your stories on the table here. This happens because people have medical needs. This happens because adopted children have rights as children and when they grow up. This is happening because people want to know where they came from, culturally, spiritually, as well as physically. But what about for those of you who've been either adoptees or birth parents? Where is the balance between an adoptee's right and a birth parent's right to maintain her, in most cases, privacy, but also the father's? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Give us a call, 212-433-9692, and let's take one right now from David in Piermont, New York. David, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian.
So you were adopted?
Yes, I was adopted. I was adopted in New York City. You know, the first point I just want to make is that, you know, the United States is the only first world country in the world that doesn't have open adoption records for all their citizens. This is all countries in Europe. We're talking Israel. We're talking Mexico. I mean, the list goes on and on. That adoptees' rights are, you know, in this country, it's so terrible that adoptees do not have the right when they're 18. You know, in the adoption community, we call it ancestricide, you know, where we're not allowed to know what our background is, what our medical things are. We are not allowed, you know, I compare it to, you know, my life is actually shortened because I am not entitled to know and take care of medical issues that went in my family.
And because you live in New York, you are still not entitled?
You know what? I am not entitled, but I'll tell you the truth is that I found my birth parents, and I found them through a private detective. And this private detective actually has a reality show on television that she finds adopted families for them. And my birth mother used a pseudonym. She didn't even use her real name. So really, adoption records aren't closed. They're just closed if you don't have the money to go out there and pay somebody to do it because, you know, these files, somebody's into them, somebody gets, I was adopted through Louise Life Services on 94th Street. Mm-hmm. And however this woman did it, you know, she was able to find them anyway. So, I mean, just the fact that we're opening the record, well, that's great. But.
Uh-huh. And that's in New Jersey, and it's still a state-by-state thing in this country, and you're telling us that the United States is unique in not having universal open adoption records among most of the countries we generally compare ourselves to. So, David, thank you for starting us off that way, and I'm glad you were able to discover the birth parents you were looking for. Kathy and Wantar, you're on WNYC. Good morning.
Good morning. I wanted to tell you, Brian, that was because of a show you had about 7 years ago about birth parents and adoptive parents having a share of the raising of a child that triggered me to go
that.
Online.
Uh-huh.
I had been registered with ALMA since 1971.
ALMA is?
ALMA is Adoptive Liberation Movement Association. And I signed up with them because I had given up a baby in 1970. And I wanted to be able to be found by her. And when I heard your show, I went online with ALMA and just gave them the date of birth in the hospital. And within 5 days, they called me. They found my daughter. And it's been a wonderful, wonderful thing.
And you contacted her?
Actually, ALMA contacted her. And then they called me.
And she was willing to meet you?
Yes. It took a while. We corresponded by mail, and then we spoke on the phone, and then within 6 months, we met face-to-face.
How old was she at that time?
She was 37.
Uh-huh. And you've developed a relationship?
Yes, and we're very close now.
And if we contributed to that with a segment we did on this show, I'm so happy.
I have to thank you for it, Brian, really.
Kathy, what do you think about this law? Because you didn't want to... Whoops, we lost Kathy's line, didn't we? Well, if we get Kathy back, I want to ask her how she would feel about a law like this, which would require that her daughter be able to find her if she had wanted to. So if we get Kathy back, we'll put her back on. But let's go to another a biological parent who gave up his child for adoption, I think. Rich in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Good morning, Rich. Thanks so much for calling.
Yeah, hi, Brian. How you doing?
Okay.
I gave up, my girlfriend and I gave up a child 35 years ago, and we both wanted to find the child later on because we were really young kids at the time. And I just think it's important that if the child who's given up for adoption doesn't know and is just having a happy, normal life in a regular family, I think that would be the best for the child. But I would hate to find out who the child is and be the one to ruin it for him by telling him, hey, you're adopted, I'm your birth father. You know, so that like holds me back from trying to make contact with him. But it has to be a mutual thing. You know what I mean?
Right. And so when you hear Kathy's story, the previous caller, when she went through that group, Alma, and Alma contacted the daughter, did that make you a little uncomfortable because she had no idea if the daughter even knew she was adopted and whether she would be informing her of that, and that makes you uncomfortable?
Yeah, you know, it has to be a mutual thing. Like they have another place called the SoundX registration,
uh-huh,
where the adopted child would register with them, and the adopted parent, the birth parents register, and then they make a match because there's a willingness on both sides to be found.
Right.
But if it's not a mutual thing, you know,
yes,
I'd hate to disrupt someone else's family, or, you know, I just want what's best for the child.
So how do you feel about this law? Do you have an opinion?
I don't know. I think it's good. I would like things to be more open, but people have to have restraint and not just go barging into someone else's life. And because a lot of people, they don't want to be found. They don't mm-hmm. want to know.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone's rights
different.
Have to be respected.
Rich, thank you very much. And Kathy in Wantagh is back. Kathy, sorry your line dropped off.
Yes, yes. I wanted to let you know that I went to spend Chapin with the agency that my baby was adopted through, and they make it a point that the adopted parents must tell the child that they're adopted from early on. So she knew early on. And when she was ready to be found, she registered to adoption.com, and that's how Alma found her. So it was that she wanted to find me.
Right. Interesting. So Spence Chapin,
so
I guess...
If it had not been that way, they would never would have found her. But she registered on adoption.com.
So Spence Chapin and maybe, I guess, probably some other adoption agencies, if they do it, require that the adoptive parents tell the child that they're adopted?
They must know they're adopted.
By a certain age? Is that how that works?
Yes, otherwise it's a requirement.
Wow.
In the contract, yes.
So how do you feel about the law, that this be mandated?
I think the law is good. I think that I know my daughter, she had some health issues and she didn't know where to turn to. And if she needed to find something out, that would be a wonderful avenue to find out, because it is so important to know your family history.
Do you think, last question, if there had been a requirement in place when you gave up your child for adoption at birth, that they be able to find you and know who you are, that it might have discouraged you from doing so?
No, because, as I said, she was born in 1970. 1971, I think Alma became, that's when they started, and I was like one of the first people to register
right.
with them.
So you,
I wanted my child to find me.
You wanted to know from the start. Kathy, thank you again for calling, and again, if we contributed to a reunification that may not have taken place or reuniting. I'm so happy. Thank you very much. Well, let's go back to our guest, Andrew Kitchenman from NJ Spotlight, who's reporting on the law that Governor Christie signed into law for the state of New Jersey yesterday that will give adopted children more rights in finding first the medical records of their birth parents and also their identities. Andrew, I'm sure you were touched listening to some of those stories from the callers, as I was. One thing that one of them brought up, it seems like this is a state-by-state thing in the United States. So New Jersey now just had this law signed by the governor that will give adopted children more rights. Do you know what that makes New Jersey a part of? Like, do most states have this?
I don't have that record. I will say that both Kathy's and Rich's stories are much more typical of adopted parents, birth parents. And that's a big source of frustration for those who've been advocating for this bill. And the bill, I should also add, because it's not the original version of the bill, even before this latest round of changes that were made before Governor Christie signed it into law, the bill still didn't have that provision that would have allowed the birth parents before 2015 to have their names redacted. There would have been, under the original version of the bill, an opportunity for them to ask that they not be contacted. But that the governor's office basically did require that redaction ability still be included in the bill. And so that led to some last-minute changes. That being said, the adoptee rights advocates very much are pleased with the bill, even with that change being made.
What about the concern that it might discourage some future adoptions? I certainly hear you when you say most birth parents want to be able to know later who their birth children are and to have those children contact them someday. And that's everything that we have on our board, I have to say. The callers that we had on the air were typical of the people who were calling in, both adoptees and birth parents who are happy that a reunification took place in their lives. But for those who don't want that, for whatever reason, just don't want to be able to be found, is there a good argument that won't happen? Or, you know, that there will be more abortions, for example, or more people who keep their babies who would rather give them up? You know, is there any way to demonstrate it one way or another?
Yeah, I think it's impossible to say with certainty that it would never cause an abortion. But the sense is that the vast majority, I mean, the vast, vast majority of adoptions that take place, this really isn't a factor. You know, it would be extremely rare based on everyone who I've talked with about it. For this to even be a question, and that's reflected in the very small number of birth parents who even seek to have their names sealed, the records sealed. There's a statement on New Jersey Right to Life's page where they basically say that they're going to have to redouble their efforts because there's going to be a rise in abortions, and then advising their members to remember how your legislators voted on this measure at election time. So that's what they feel. Mm-hmm. But as far as whether there are facts to back that up, I don't know if it's going to be possible to answer that definitively. But secondly, to the extent to which we can, there's a very strong sense that it's extremely rare that this would even be an issue.
I think Linda in Princeton has a story of why this is a good idea from a medical perspective. Linda, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My concern is that there are bigger issues to descendants of adopted children. My grandmother's 102 years old. She was adopted in Pennsylvania she was born in 1911. And her records are closed. The state of Pennsylvania will not allow us to find out who her birth parents were until the 105th anniversary of her birth because, you know, odds are
it's 105 years because presumably by then she won't be alive anymore?
That's that's exactly the reason. That's what they told me when I called about it. And both of her children, both my father and my uncle, both died of brain tumors.
Huh.
And as their children, my cousins and I, you know, we would like to know, was this a freak accident? Is this a family history? We'll never have any kind of access to. I mean, we have three
you
more
can't
years.
Tell without, you can't tell without going back that many generations?
No. Well, the doctors have said that it seems to be that there must be a pattern that two brothers would have this, but they don't know for sure. And there's just no way. And what's really frustrating about Pennsylvania is these were open records until 1950. She thought she knew who her birth family was, and it turned out the records were confused, and she was given somebody else's birth information. And we can't even confirm the information because they won't even talk to us about it.
So you support laws like this, obviously.
I do. I understand the circumstances of people who want to be kept private, but I think you have to think about the longer picture, that there are going to be kids that are going to want to know about their great-grandparents and their grandparents that are never going to be able to find out otherwise.
Well, your grandmother might beat the system and live to 106.
I certainly hope so.
And then the records will be open. Linda, thank you very much. Let's go to Jamie in Wilmington, North Carolina. You're on WNYC. Hello, Jamie.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I actually called in because I've been in reunion with my son for 9 years, and but I also want to make the comment that a woman told me on a bus in New York City that her daughter adopted from Africa, and I said, Africa, really? And she said, yes. That way she could be sure that the birth parents would never show up.
Huh.
Oh. So as a birth mother, I want to say that all the birth mothers I've ever met really wanted to know their children.
And there are ways to do international adoption where you do know who the birth parents are. It sounds like in this particular case, there was no requirement that you know, and these adoptive parents didn't want to know.
Yeah.
I know there are ways that you can do this with the knowledge of the adopted parents, of the birth parents in other countries, but yeah, so as a birth mother, that outraged you. 9 years of reunion in your own case. How old was your child at that time?
37.
And did you have a sealed record at first?
Gosh, I don't know. I was 20 years old. I was incarcerated in a Florence Crittenden home. I was convinced that I had done something horrible to my family and that, you know, my father was an attorney, and if word ever got out that he had a daughter who was married and not pregnant, his practice would be ruined. So, you know, I signed the papers they put in front of me, and the papers said that I would not molest or interfere with in any way the adopting family.
So the requirement was more on you to have limited contact than you asking for privacy from them.
Oh, I had no, well, I wasn't thinking about any rights I might have at that time. And I found him, he was born in Georgia, and the state of Georgia has an agency that if you ask, they will go have the records opened. And they use a confidential intermediary who then approaches the adopted person and reads a letter from the birth parent or the birth sibling or whoever, birth grandparent, and asks the adoptee, would you like to have contact?
Mm-hmm.
So, woo!
Woo. All right.
That was the most thrilling day of my life when I got that phone call that my son was alive and open to contact.
Do you think there are other laws that are needed to give more rights to people like you who might want to try to find the birth children, or maybe you can already do that?
You know, I don't know. I know that even though my son and I have known each other for 9 years, neither of us can have access to his original birth certificate. And I think that's so bizarre.
Why?
It's sealed. I guess in North Carolina, where I signed the papers. I'm not sure.
Huh. Even with both of your consent. That's strange.
Right.
Jamie, thank you for calling in. Thank you for your story. And we're going to leave it there with Andrew Kitchenman, who reported for NJ Spotlight on Governor Christie signing the bill yesterday that does give more rights to adopted children to find out the medical records of their birth parents and in many cases the identities going back, and also for new births in which the child is given up for adoption starting on August 1st of next year. Andrew, thanks a lot. What a group of stories, huh?
That's it. Every story is really powerful and unique, and the advocates for this bill really, their advocacy really comes from a really personal place, and it can be very moving. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you for joining us. Coming up next, we will pay tribute to the poet and author Maya Angelou, who died today, by rebroadcasting a beautiful interview she gave me just last year on this show. That's coming right up.